Chapter 35. The Creepy Guy. The Mayflower lunch had finished a little after 5 o'clock. Thanks to the introduction from Emily Harding West, Lisa had spoken to the Vice President-elect's wife and was able to pass on the flash disk Jack had prepared. It was a little before 6 when Lisa and Jack drove into the basement parking of Lisa's building and were surprised to find a van parked in Lisa's bay.
"Ah, look at this," she said.
"The engine's running," said Jack. "I'll ask the driver to move." Jack got out and shouted towards the van, but there was no response. He walked over and around to the driver's side out of sight. Lisa waited several seconds, but he didn't come back. She beeped the horn a couple of times, but still no sign of Jack or the driver. She was about to get out when her passenger door was pulled open and a man leaned in, a large revolver in his hand. "Step out of the car, and don't try anything stupid or your boyfriend is dead." She climbed out and shouted, "What the hell is this?"
"Just do as you're told, lady. Over to the van."
When Lisa turned the corner of the van, she saw Jack on the floor. Immediately she tried to kneel down, but the man with the gun pulled her to her feet.
"Don't worry, he's alive.
Now, up against the van. Move, lady." A second man had secured Jack's hands with cable ties and was hauling him into the open side of the vehicle. The gunman quickly searched Lisa, the muzzle of the weapon pressed hard between her shoulder blades. "Hands behind your back." She felt the plastic ties pulled together around her wrists. "Now get in." She climbed in and took a seat on a worn leather bench. Jack was bundled onto the floor at her feet. She could see the hair at the back of his head was matted with blood. As the door was slammed shut, he rolled over. His eyes slowly opened. She leaned forward, unable to help him, but said quietly,
"You okay, Jack?"
He took a breath and let out a deep moan.
"Fuck. I walked right into that. Yes, I'm okay, apart from a bloody headache and a severely wounded ego."
"Always the joker, eh, Jack?" As the vehicle reversed out of the bay, Jack said, "I doubt I can make these jokers laugh." Through the dirty windscreen, Lisa saw the second man drive her Porsche into the parking bay, lock the vehicle, and then climb into the back of the van. He took a seat alongside Lisa, the revolver in hand. "Just relax and enjoy the ride." A little over an hour later, the van came to a stop. Jack heard the kidnappers talking, but couldn't make out what was being said. The van door was pulled open, and the bright evening sunlight blinded them for a moment or two. "Okay, out." Jack shuffled across the floor and sat on the threshold for a few seconds, quickly scanning the surrounding area.
They were in the country, in what appeared to be a deserted farm or ranch.
"Get your ass up."
Jack stood and waited as Lisa was helped down. He thought of attacking the men, but with hands tied and two men to take on, it would be fruitless.
"Okay, this way."
They were taken over to a derelict barn, and, as the door was pulled open, a third and decidedly creepy older man appeared.
"Okay, boys, I'll take it from here. You can go."
One of the kidnappers cut the ties on Jack and Lisa's hands, then pushed them forward. The creepy guy produced a 9mm automatic and cocked the weapon.
"You sure you don't want us to stay?"
The creepy guy smiled, showing several broken teeth.
"Oh no, I can manage this. I'll call you when I need you. You're the boss."
Jack watched the two return to the van and drive off. The dust cloud from the spinning tires blew past and caused the creep to cough. Jack smiled at his discomfort. The man waved the big automatic towards the interior of the building. "Inside, please." The room was dirty and damp, with a faint smell of urine. Daylight came in from a single barred window high up on the wall. In one corner was an old metal desk, a battered and torn leather chair behind it. In the other corner stood a small table with an array of objects laid out on the rusty metal top. A metal bar, two thick whips, several knives of various sizes, and a dirty wooden baseball bat. A metal chair was on its side on the floor. Two chains hung from a pipe in the ceiling below several heavy-duty eyelets drilled into the concrete.
"Oh, shit," said Lisa.
The creep smiled at her reaction.
I see you like my little office.
You sick fuck, said Jack.
The man smiled at the insult.
Please, let's keep this civilized.
Lisa turned.
Civilized?
The man kept the gun on Jack. With the other hand, he pointed to the area under the hanging chains. Over there, please. They moved slowly to the centre of the room and turned to face the creepy gunman.
What now? Said Jack.
The man smiled again. His eyes widened.
Now, please undress.
Fuck you, spat Lisa. Jack turned and looked into her eyes, then began to remove his clothes.
Thank you, said the creep, still smiling.
Their captor moved to the old desk and sat down behind it. He watched as Lisa stripped down to her underwear. His face changed.
Everything, all off, please.
As they removed their underwear, they heard a metal drawer screech open. The man took something from the drawer and threw it over towards them.
Put them on his wrists and ankles, please.
Lisa picked up the shackles and strapped them on Jack. The man stood up.
Arms up, please.
Clip him to the chain. The chain rattled as she attached his wrists. He waved the gun.
The feet as well, please.
Jack spread his legs and Lisa looked up into his face as she attached his ankles to the floor. Their captor smiled.
Thank you, my dear. Now please attach the restraints to your own ankles and wrists.
She did as he said, then stood defiant, the fear gone, replaced by anger. He walked behind her and placed the muzzle of the gun gently against her spine.
Arms up, please, my dear.
Then kneeling, he secured one leg to the floor. Lisa shuddered as his cheek inadvertently touched the back of her thigh. The last manacle was secured and he stood in front of them. Smiling, he turned away and moved to the table, picked up one of the whips and returned to Lisa. He ran the flail down her hip, his eyes on the curve of her body, then recoiled as she spat in his face. He stood back, the smile ever present. He wiped the spittle from his face and licked his finger.
Perhaps we'll get to this a little later.
He bent down and collected their clothes, then spread them out the rusty desktop. After methodically going through all the pockets, he ended up with a small pile of their personal effects. Smiling at his two captives, he said,
Now let's see who we have here.
Fuck you, said Jack. The creep had Jack's passport and was flicking through the pages.
Mr. Jack Castle, a British businessman.
He looked at Jack.
I don't think so.
Jack looked him straight in the eyes.
Like I said, fuck you.
He picked up Lisa's pocketbook and took out her driver's license and Washington Post ID card. Miss Lisa Reynard, journalist. He looked at her, his eyes moving up and down her naked body.
And what else are you, Miss Reynard? Not just a journalist?
She narrowed her eyes.
Like Jack said, shithead, fuck you.
He left the desk and walked over to her, the whip in his hand. Again he ran the flail across her stomach, tracing the gunshot scar.
I see you are no stranger to pain, Miss Reynard.
Leave her alone, said Jack. The creep turned to Jack.
For now, I shall leave you both alone to consider your position. All I need to know is everything you know.
Still smiling, he walked to the door, then turned.
Your fates are solely dependent on your cooperation.
The door creaked shut behind him. Lisa looked at Jack and saw the smile.
What the hell have you got to smile about?
He grinned.
In any other circumstances, seeing you like this might have been fun.
She shook her head.
Another time, another place, maybe. If we survive this, that is.
We'll survive. This fucker's not going to do anything here. He's not going to torture us, at least.
And how'd you figure that?
Look at the restraints. They're brand new and padded. He could have used cable ties, rope, or those shackles over there. These have been used so as not to leave marks, which means he, or whoever he's working for, does not want any evidence on our bodies. All this is a bluff. If we talk, he gets what he wants and will kill us elsewhere, make it look like an accident. If we don't talk, the outcome will be the same. Whatever happens, we're not going to die here. She looked into his eyes. Jesus, Jack, I hope you're right.